from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
I'm so glad that I didn't. Yeah. I didn't let Dustin corrupt me into making another bet that I lost.
Do you owe him something?
I don't know that I do. Maybe I do.
Yeah, we didn't have time this morning. Things going on back here. We didn't get to check the tape. But I think both of you might owe me a drink.
Okay, we may do that.
Well, I mean, I buy you a drink. I don't think I owe it to you. I think I'd remember if I owed him something. But let's check the tape.
Well, how about this? Since we're talking about the same game parlay that they're offering up on favorite.
Dustin's trying to corrupt me badly. Okay.
So the Pirates in the first five innings, leading after the first five innings.
Yep.
Paul Skeen, 7+ strikeouts. O'Neill Cruz to record 2 total bases. Ian Happ to get a hit.
I'm not making that bet.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
And Dustin, you're wrong.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's Bears week, all about the start of the season. Go Bears. Oh, by the way, there was a no-hitter last night. The Sox finally got past a certain Detroit pitcher with their 32nd win of the season, Mr. Taylor.
Good morning, Mully, yes.
Good morning, Mully, yes. Is ready to go this morning because that was quite a night. Wrigley Field.
Oh, my God.
Electric. A no-no for...
Shoho.
Show.
Shohei.
What is it? You got to have some sort of play on where the
show-no.
The show-no. And yet, it was more than just...
But he had the go-go, and they needed to fill in... I don't...
95 pitches, comes out of the game, 7 innings, no-hit ball. The Cubs have a combined no-hitter. The first no-hitter at Wrigley Field, wow, since 1972. That's a long time.
Is that right? 72?
Yes.
Wow.
Milt Pappas was the last time, September 2nd, 1972. Milt Pappas. Should have been a perfect game. I'm sure people of a certain age will tell you that.
Ask Milt. But, didn't
yes,
he take
exactly.
That?
Remember that?
Oh, my God.
Last night, though, Shota Imanaga, the Cubs' best pitcher this year. Combines on a no-hitter. Miguel Amaya, the catcher, tears in his eyes after the game, emotional night at Wrigley Field. We welcome in the NFL season this morning, still celebrating something that doesn't happen very often at Wrigley Field last night. This is going to be a fun day.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day. So much to talk about, so much good happening. And, you know, listen, who knows? Get a couple more of those no-hitters, and who you play doesn't matter, right?
Well,
so there's that.
Yeah, if you no-hit the Yankees this weekend, that's another big deal.
That'd be a little bit bigger
deal. Can you imagine that?
No. No, I can't imagine
No, not with Judge and Soto.
You mean what one man can do, another man can do.
You mean the no-no against Soto? Show?
See, I don't know if those are guys you know. No,
I don't know them very well. Do you know Anthony Rizzo? He's coming back.
If you know them, then you don't know them. You know what I mean?
We'll talk about the wisdom of pulling Shota after 95 pitches. We'll talk about the fan reaction, I'm sure, throughout the program. Mm-hmm. Here's the one thing that stood out to me. I wanted to get your take on this.
Please.
And anyone else who wants to weigh in. I don't buy this, or at least I don't understand how professional baseball players, pitchers who do this for a living, throw strikes for a living, can be in the bullpen, can be on the mound in the midst of history, throwing a no-hitter and not being aware that they're throwing a no-hitter.
Yeah, that was amazing that he did not realize that that was a no-hitter. And there was apparently no pushback whatsoever.
Are you buying that?
In part because he didn't know that he had a no-hitter going.
I don't understand.
In fact, they said the only guy that pushed back was Dansby Swanson.
Yeah.
He wanted to remain on the field. They took everybody else out.
Right, because it was a blowout.
Because the game was over.
And the Pirates threw a position player.
They got bigger fish to fry.
On the mound.
Yeah.
And yet, Dansby Swanson, presence of mind, and good thing because they needed him.
Well, he got the last three outs. That's pretty good.
Much better about Dansby Swanson fielding that ground ball than Miles Mastroboni.
Yeah,
that's nothing fair. Against Miles Mastroboni.
No, it's fair.
But
fair
I just don't know how you're in the midst of all of this, and you have to have that awareness, or you're so locked in, your intensity is so high that you don't really know what's going on.
I obviously have never been in a position like that. Not only have I never pitched professionally, but I've never been good enough at anything to feel like I had a no-hitter going. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Like it just so I think there are different moments in your life where you feel like, hey, this is going well.
Different approaches.
But I don't know that I don't know. I mean, any game I ever played, I knew exactly how I had done. Any basketball game I ever played in, I knew exactly how many points I scored or how many rebounds I had. I think that you're computing your own game as you go. I don't know anyone that isn't.
I don't know many running backs that could tell you how many yards they have in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm at 77. I need another carry.
You'd have a fair idea.
You have an idea.
Yeah.
If you're having a good game. But
that's not
it's
as,
not a no-hitter.
Yeah.
A no-hitter. You know everybody in the building knows what's going on.
Okay. That got me last time.
Craig Counsell is not the superstitious sort, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the program, I think, in the afternoon show the other day, and he talked about Trevor Hoffman talking about, well, nobody in baseball has superstitions. They just have rituals. One of the rituals, though, is well adhered to, tried and true.
Don't say that.
Don't mention the no-hitter in the dugout.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it. Shota not knowing he was throwing a no-hitter. This isn't like the model of intensity necessarily. He's locked in, but this is a guy who's having a good time. He's taking in all of the elements. He's smiling on the mound. He's got the gestures. He's fun to watch. Does he not look at the scoreboard at some point and see a big zero in the hit column for the Pirates? I don't know.
It's interesting that we mentioned – Dustin mentioned Caitlin Clark had a triple-double. She got a rebound with like 10 seconds left. And she said the crowd went nuts. She said she knew what her stats were because she could see it on the scoreboard.
Yes. Well, and you can't miss it on today's scoreboards.
I'm just saying, if you're, and I don't know about the old-fashioned scoreboard, but if you're a player, are you always looking at the scoreboard? Do you check other teams, see how they're doing in a pennant race? I don't know the answer to that. But I would do so.
I am not wired enough. Maybe this is just everyone's got their own approach. I can't ignore the things that are going on around me, even if I've tried to.
Sure.
Like, you want to be locked in if you're Shota Imanaga. Maybe he is that intense and you're that oblivious to the history you're making. If so, I want some of that because he's got a way to maybe focus and lock in and not let the outside factors create the anxiety that he must have felt, you must feel in the midst of a no-hitter. I just don't know how you can be watching in the bullpen and the pitchers that contributed to the no-hitter had no clue that this was going on.
It would be less exhausting
if you didn't go through life like a poker player trying to read what the other opponent has, right? It would be
That's the secret to life.
But I don't, I mean, barring the people that I went to college with that were stoners, I'm not sure I know anybody that goes through life without being aware of what's going on around them. And if they do,
dude,
that's usually a sign of not being very copped on or very bright.
I don't disagree.
I'm just saying, I think that you're constantly taking in information. And frankly, if you have any kind of urban paranoia, if you've grown up in any kind of environment like that, you are monitoring everything that's going on around you at all times.
Well, I cannot blame it on urban paranoia because I grew up around none of that. I grew up as quiet as you possibly can imagine in a rural town, population 1,500. And yet, if I was throwing a no-hitter in front of...
Yet if a guy snuck up on you with a pipe, you would be aware.
I think I'd be aware. Head on a swivel. You go through life like that. So how does Porter Hodge, how does Nate Pearce, how do these guys not necessarily acknowledge or know what's going on? I honestly didn't know we had a no-hitter going, Pearson said with a smirk. Did he?
Is that a smirk? Is that a...
A knowing smirk. No, an unknowing smirk. Anyway.
But the smirk implies something. I don't know what.
I should have known.
He did know?
It implies he should have known or implies...
Smirk is like I'm in on the joke.
I don't think he was in on the joke.
Okay.
I didn't get that impression. I watched some of the post-game. Right. We heard some of the things that they talked about. Showed us, certainly, through an interpreter. Didn't... Can you smirk through an interpreter? Did he have a smirk?
The interpreter. Wipe that smirk off your face.
Bottom line.
That question.
Bottom line is, and I wonder this, the enthusiasm... The reaction to a no-hitter at Wrigley Field.
Yep.
A special moment. First time in 52 years it's happened.
That's even more at Wrigley Field.
Does that make it different when you try to interpret what one win means, getting back on track against the Pirates? Does that bring you back? I had a text last night from a Cub fan. Immediately after it happened, somebody said, all right.
That doesn't count for two.
Are they back in?
No. That doesn't count for
two. Are you believing again?
It's variance, right? I hate to use the word.
Thanks, Dan.
It doesn't mean that they won two games.
You're a captain variance now?
No, but I do believe that's baseball.
Okay, I don't disagree.
You know?
I don't disagree. It is tempting, though.
You'd love to say,
yeah, it's going to count for two, and they're going to go on a little streak now. They're off today.
They had to win, and you felt they had to win.
They definitely had to win that one.
They had to win.
It was must win. I think Dustin labeled it must win yesterday going into it.
I think he labeled it must win statement game. Which
and
is
Shota hurt him.
Greatest,
Shota hurt him. That win needed no translation.
Shota didn't hear him. He just knew innately.
I think Shota hurt him. Shota wore a Walter Payton jersey to the park the other day, and he was listening to the Mullenhaw Show Rewind on his headphones.
I like that he wore that jersey.
I do too.
I like pretty much everything about our guy, Mike.
Mike has been...
So a guy that is so
everything and then some.
That he notices they have a hard time with his first name when ordering coffee.
Mike, who is so plugged in that he wears a Walter Payton jersey to a Cubs game in Chicago. This is not an unaware young man.
No.
Or a professional athlete.
Didn't know he had a no-hitter going.
I don't buy that.
Maybe Mike wanted out. Maybe Mike didn't care about the no-hitter as much as his arm.
Of course, we get the text. I knew this was coming. Seven innings, that's not a no-hitter. Yes, it is. The Cubs had a no-hitter last night. The Cubs
it's a combined no-hitter.
It's a combined no-hitter.
Yeah.
Last time they did that, now they did that with Craig Kimbrell and buddies. That was a few years ago. They had four people combine on a no-hitter, 2021, June 24th, in L.A. against the Dodgers. And remember that game, Craig Kimbrell, you know, the guy who gets in such an intense stance, he didn't realize it was a no-hitter. I don't get that.
Well, I think...
Help me understand this, people.
A guy like that just lives in his own world and doesn't really care about whatever team he's on. Doesn't follow the game. He just does his thing when the moment tells him.
Are we? Did you just describe 80% of major leaguers, though?
I mean, I think relievers are different than the guy actually throwing the game. I do think it's different. I think that when you're a reliever, you're, you know, sitting around the bullpen, chewing bubble gum, playing mind games with guys. Like, I think it's just different than it is when you're out there every inning.
How about the official score? Now, I'm dying. Maybe tomorrow we can talk to Coom about this, because it will be Friday. We'll talk to Ron Coomer. Brian Reynolds reached base. Was it early on? That was the first inning, I believe. And it was a hit. And they changed it to an error.
When did they change it to an error?
Shortly after, I believe.
They have to do it right away.
They pretty much did it right away. But it was a hit and then ruled an error. And Coom earlier in the week was going off on the official score in Washington, I believe, about how they were giving these guys hits they didn't deserve. And they were big league players, should have made big league plays. And I just wonder, should that have been an error or was that a hit? No controversy there, but it just was curious because that was the only time really that there was any kind of question about such a thing. And then you go in for the first inning. I don't think you're thinking no hitter at that point.
Right. Right.
You're thinking, you could cancel the post-game show.
Had they gone back after the game and changed it, then we'd have
a controversy. Yes.
But I think if they're changing it in real time, it's okay.
Boy, Isak Paredes. Yikes. He survived three errors?
It's pretty cool to have three errors in a no-hitter.
No, it's not. There's nothing cool about it.
I think it's pretty cool.
It's unusual.
It's ridiculous.
Is it unprecedented? I wonder that.
I don't know. I'm sure someone...
There's got to be somebody out there. Jay Cuda up yet?
Have we talked about variants yet?
Yes, you have, Dan. Proxy Dan.
That's so mean.
Morning show Dan.
Never hurt me more.
You're wounded. I don't know if there's ever been a no-hitter with three errors by the same guy. And
yeah,
isn't it something?
Good.
We just talked to Jed about Isak Paredes and his defense. He's not been good over there.
Well, he didn't replace a guy that was a gold glover.
But that's why you replaced the guy.
Yeah. No, he's not been good. You're right. Listen, I mean, are we going to now go back to the season's over?
No, we're not. We're going to keep it happy today. Happy Talk Thursday.
Yeah.
The Cubs had a no-no.
And
the NFL's here. Oh, yeah, the Sox won. The
Sox got past Denny McClain, finally. I saw that on Twitter. I laughed out loud.
The Sox finally.
They were stuck on Denny McClain.
They finally got a victory in Baltimore. And they poured it on.
They poured it on.
By Sox standards, they definitely poured it on.
Nicky Lopez, leadoff homer.
Good for him. Set the tone. They needed that. Just to exhale
heavy,
a little bit.
Sigh. Good for him.
It was a heavy sigh.
That was.
You need.
Well, it was. The problem is I believe there's only 22 games left, so they can only match their longest losing streak. They can't exceed.
I was just glad for a guy like Jonathan Cannon. Young pitcher, needs some positive results. He had his own night on the mound. It was very strong effort from the young right-hander, who I think is going to be. Can we agree on that? Do we think that Jonathan Cannon is a likely member of the 2025 starting rotation? No.
I don't know if he's damaged by being a part of this team or not. I can't answer that question yet.
He's got a lot of White Sox stink on him to be in the White Sox rotation too much.
Well, they stink. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Dominic Fletcher, he seems like a guy who has played better. I don't have the numbers in front of me, the White Sox numbers you want to look away from, but he has played better since Sizemore took over.
His defensive replacement numbers are pretty impressive. I think he's got 8 runs saved, and the leader in the American League at his position is 9.
And he's a part-time player.
He's barely played.
Did you see the throw he had last night to third base? That was a really good throw. He's a defensive strength and weapon. So good for them. They needed that badly. And they are off today as well. So the focus tonight, not on the Cubs, they're off. Not on the Sox, they're off. It's all about football. It's all about the Chiefs and Ravens.
And they're off.
And they're off. We make our predictions today. Very excited about that.
I
had to talk myself out of a couple predictions.
I had a couple of crazy ideas.
I did too. I needed to kind of remedy that.
I had to reel myself in a little.
I made my annual ode to the 49ers. We'll talk about that.
I actually went against the 49ers.
I think I do that every year, though.
In the NFC. I just feel like the vibe's not good with that team right now. I feel like they've had ample time to get everything resolved, and they took every minute of it. And it's weird.
It is kind of strange. They've had a bad preseason.
No, they have.
They've had a very tumultuous.
They've had a bad preseason for a number of different reasons. That doesn't matter at all. And for a team with the talent level they have, it doesn't matter. But does it matter?
Could be a unifier. You never know. Could go either way.
Could also be a problem.
Could fracture or could bring together.
Yeah.
That's the drama. That's the mystery. Looking forward to that out by the bay. And meanwhile, here in Chicago, I know we're redundant.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got a chance yesterday to hear Caleb Williams talk about the season, talk about what he's been through, talk about all the things. He is so polished. Every time he talks.
So young.
He just represents the Bears in such a good way, such a positive way. And you get so excited just by hearing him talk about the season, being elected a captain, whatever it may be. He's impressive.
For his age in particular, he is so impressive. He doesn't seem like a rookie. He talks like a guy that has already been there and done it, and you get this weird sense that he's kind of fulfilling something he's already done in
it's like
life.
He's been here
so
5 years.
Strange. Yeah,
it's like
really
he
strange.
Is a seasoned veteran. Yeah. He makes you feel better about the Bears season every time he speaks, and he's got no business doing that. There have been people that have been here for years. Unable to connect and communicate in the way that he connects.
He's
and communicates.
He's so composed. It's
a composure.
It's amazing. It really is.
Yep. So that was fun yesterday.
It defies logic.
Well, I think that's the idea. That's the goal. That's the quest for 2024, right? The Bears defy logic.
How good are they?
Well, we have our Bears predictions today, too.
Okay.
I think they're pretty good. In the NFL, you're good if you can win more than you lose. That's a very good team, right?
That's the ability, really hard thing to do.
It is in this league because of parity, because of everybody who's sitting there today in NFL cities. They're talking as we talk this morning. The majority of those teams feel like they can win more than they lose because of parity. Down in Indianapolis, they think they can do that. Are they better than the Bears? We'll find out. But this is what I mean. The Bears are a good football team. How good? Wow. You are going to sound foolish if you sound definitive about answering that question today.
It's a very difficult one to say.
That's the beauty of the NFL.
Because there are so many outliers and differing factors that we haven't even considered yet.
All of them.
Yeah.
And they're all gonna be important.
Yeah.
And they're all gonna dictate what happens. So Sunday on the lakefront, that's gonna be exciting. The Titans are talking, the Bears are talking. And tonight, they stop talking and start playing. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I think tonight's going to be fun. I think tomorrow night's going to be a ton of fun. I'm really interested in that.
There's a lot more.
We're scheduled to talk to Brian Baldinger.
He's down there. He's down in Brazil. There's a lot more outside factors that are making that experience and that game a little, maybe more intriguing. Tonight's about the football. Tomorrow is as much about the spectacle as it is about the game.
I think the game is going to matter too, but I think you're right about
the spectacle. I hope that the spectacle and the lead, the build up doesn't affect the football.
Yeah, I agree. Their rooms are all going to be robbed. You realize that? That's a joke. That's what some of the players have talked about.
They've said that.
I know.
And the Eagles have been much more outspoken than the Packers about that. The
Eagles seem genuinely afraid.
Somebody asked a good question, I think it might have been on the Twitter machine, that aren't they warning people about wearing green because of gang implications down in Brazil?
Then
they have two teams whose colors are green.
Yeah, it's a very difficult thing to talk about because there's like socioeconomic realities and gang colors are different than they are in this country. So, for instance, if you are associated with your local soccer club, those become your colors, mm-hmm. which means you are connected to your society in a way that street gangs in this country are not. But that means, you know, the green is their greatest rival wears green. So that is a signal to the local fans that that's the, you know, they're the bad guys. That's the other gang.
It's a trigger.
And it's a trigger.
Yeah.
And you got two teams. This hasn't been thought out in the fashion that
it doesn't appear to be the case.
No.
Which is why there's a lot of intrigue surrounding it. It has nothing to do with football.
So are they both wearing white? How are they going to do this?
How are they going to do this?
It's going to be pretty wild.
There's going to be seven interceptions in the first quarter.
But
I was thrown to the jersey.
It's pretty wild. All right, we got so much to get to. All the big stories of the day. We're going to tear them all apart. Mully and Haw, we got the pick six next here on the screen.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Your local store today and get your print on.
Chicago's Sports Morning Show with Mully and Haw will be back in 60 seconds on the score.
A Gain Scent Bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard... His ear said, Maraca, senor. But his nose said, hey, freshest scent ever. Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain Scent Beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, sir, your scent Maraca smell amazing. Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain Scent Beads. Try Gain Scent Beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
As a roofer, I'm always on the go. So I need to be able to get things done from anywhere. That's why I partner with Beacon. With their unique Beacon Pro Plus app, I've got the brands I depend on, like GAF, right at my fingertips 24/7. I rely on Beacon because I never stop building, and neither do they. Now through September 15th, purchase GAF through Beacon Pro Plus and earn up to $1,500. Go to BECN.com or download the Beacon Pro Plus app today. Beacon, always building.
Bears fans, it's game week. Keep it right here as we continue to get you ready for the highly anticipated 2024 Bears season. Coming up on Sunday against the Titans. Do not miss a minute of our wall-to-wall coverage. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented by your local Hyundai dealers. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. And Odyssey Sports Station. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score! It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit feelgreatillinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or the weight loss options. Did Craig Counsell do the right thing in polling Shota after 95 pitches with six outs to go in a no-hitter situation?
Oh, unequivocally, he did the right thing. 95 pitches is a lot. And, you know, Shota is 30 years old. And he's come over from Japan, and I don't know what his career numbers are, but I would imagine he's not pitched like this before. And, you know, they have won that game. And whether the glory of, you know, an achievement that we haven't seen very often, I think if there have been two no-hitters by individual pitchers this year, and I think that, you know, he has not been able to kind of build up his arm over a couple of years to get to a point. I just think 95 pitches, that's enough for a start. And it's great they got the combined no-hitter, but, you know, I just don't think now in September is the time to kind of see how far he can go and how rubber his arm is and how good the bounce back might be. It just made perfect sense. And I believe he said that they had talked about it already in the sixth inning and kind of came to the resolution this is what they were going to do. So if Shota doesn't push back, if it's not an achievement that he knew about or wanted, then I don't see how it wasn't the right move.
Unfortunately, yes, I have to agree with Craig Counsell last night. The long-term future, and that's what Craig's big on, everything's long-term. It's not day-to-day with him. It's long-term. So he indeed do the right thing.
In today's baseball, there really is no debate. I understand the boos. I might have even just out of, if I were a fan at that game, because I wanted to see a no-hitter by the same guy, by one pitcher, I might have booed, but not because I was mad at Craig Counsell for doing the right thing. It's just because you were deprived a chance to see history. You still saw it, but it was a kind of sort of maybe no-hitter. It was still a no-hitter, but it was a combined no-hitter. It wasn't a nine-inning gem by a starting pitcher who has had a terrific year in coming over from Japan. This is consistent with who Craig Counsell is. We praise him, and some people might criticize him, but we say the same thing about him. He's the same guy every day. The decision process, making process will be the same every day. This is consistent. Craig Counsell still believes the Cubs will have a chance because he's got to believe the Cubs still will have a chance. So in that context, you're also preserving him for the rest of this season. You're preserving his arm because you don't want it to fall off. And 95 pitches is about enough for any starting pitcher at this stage of the season, especially a guy that they have been very careful and deliberate with, giving him extra rest when needed, and sometimes just when he doesn't need it, just to preserve his arm. So this was maybe something worth booing at the time, but once people take a deep breath, a step back, they look at today's baseball and the state of the game, made perfect sense.
Terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
What was the most disappointing pregame news for the Cubs? Justin Steele going on that 15-day IL with the left elbow tendonitis. It goes retroactive to September the 1st. Or was it Jorge Lopez going on the IL with a right groin strain retroactive to September the 3rd? Steele, obviously the better player, but his injury was known and the IL stint suspected to an extent, right?
Steele, no doubt, was the worst news because it confirmed your worst fears. He's probably not going to pitch again this year. That's just the reality. And when that's the case, the Cubs come to that realization. They look at the testing, and they were midway through the process when we talked to Tommy Hotovy and we heard from Craig Counsell. And I think they knew and feared what happened. Justin Steele is likely to be shut down. The Cubs are going to be too far back to justify bringing him back. And even if they were close, it might not happen anyway because of the state of his tendonitis, if that's what they're calling it. Certainly, Jorge Lopez is somebody who has been very good and had a bad night. But I don't think that you're looking at Jorge Lopez as the symbol for your hope in September. Justin Steele on the mound gave you hope in September. The fact that you're not going to see him again in September tells you what to do with that hope.
I'd like to agree with you, David, that Justin Steele's probably not going to pitch again this year. He is the leader in the clubhouse of this, you know, who's more important, obviously. But I found it interesting that Justin Steele went out of his way, and yesterday Craig Counsell in the pregame went out of his way, I felt, to say that Justin Steele will pitch again, almost like pounding the table that Justin Steele will pitch again this season.
Brian Kelly style?
Why do that? Like, why put, because when you put that out there.
I wondered that too.
And is it like, to try to get him back? Is it a, is it motivating? Is it to keep the team's spirits up? I just wondered. I just felt Craig went way out of – like he didn't have to do that.
Do you think it's because teams, as we know, like to compartmentalize injuries in one season? They don't want it to linger into the off season? Because I thought that stood out as well. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think Justin Steele didn't surprise me at all. I felt like this was coming. I don't know that he's done for the year. The hope is that it, that tendonitis subsides, that he can come back, that their season is extended to a point where maybe he can come back. The Lopez thing, I didn't know at all. I didn't. They hadn't even. You know, he'd been pitching great, frankly. And, you know, obviously you use relievers quite a bit, and he had solidified some things, and then he went off the boil. No one said that that's because he was injured or that he had some kind of groin strain, and that was the – I just was more surprised. I mean, obviously the bigger injury, the bigger player, the better player is Steele. But I felt like this was a likelihood, frankly, by the way we talked about everything that was said and the demeanor of the player as he said it and all the good news that was taken as good news, but was it really good news? And I can't say I'm surprised, but the Lopez thing just came out of nowhere as far as I could tell. He seemed like he was doing very well for himself, has one bad outing, and boom, he's on the IL.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Brad Biggs, he'll be here at 7. The first injury report of 2024 included 6 players, all of whom played a limited role in practice, including wide receiver Keenan Allen, who is not down with a cleat issue, but with a heel injury, the same ailment that ended his season and career as a Charger last year. Is that the greatest cause for concern?
You know, we don't know the extent of these injuries, and we don't know what limited means, because there were a couple of guys that seem more limited than other guys. If Ryan Bates has a shoulder, that's probably more limiting for an offensive lineman. It seems as if Allen is okay. He was at the podium. You got a chance to hear him talk. Those guys, the 4 players of the 6 that took part in limited practice earlier in the week also were limited again. The other 2 didn't practice at all and now were listed as limited. So I don't know if there's different degrees of limited or differing injuries type of thing. But I don't like the idea of the heel being the problem here and not some cleat issue. It seemed like that was kind of playing off something.
Maybe
that
the cleat caused the heel.
Well.
Which can get in the way of the toe.
Which is all connected to the
ankle.
Them bones. It's like a song, isn't it? I think that whenever the pass rusher Montez Sweat is on an injury list and it's a toe for him, that's not a good thing. And that would be my greatest concern. But I think he's going to play, and I think Keenan Allen's going to play.
I agree. I think Keenan Allen's going to play, and I think you guys could probably tell me if I'm right or wrong. Maybe you will. I mean, when the team puts a player up at the podium, they fully expect that player to play unless they were put up there to discuss a season-ending injury or something like that. Montez Sweat, I believe, is scheduled to talk today. So that would, if I'm connecting those dots, I think Montez Sweat is going to play. But they're both, like, you don't like it. I don't like the fact, I mean, I've talked about Montez Sweat not being out there, and that's an issue for me, but whatever. Just go get the quarterback, and I'll get over it very quickly. I still think the offensive line's a problem. So I think Bates not being out there, like, I'm not thrilled about the center. I know that's not the question, but I worry about this offensive line. That's the key. You got to protect this QB1.
That's curious because I think the center is coming off a season in which he was played for a pretty good team, but that's a question maybe for another day or maybe tomorrow. I think the offensive line, without Ryan Bates, you wonder about their depth, he's also on this injury list. And that's probably, of the guys on there, that's the one that I think is the most mysterious. You're right. Keenan Allen did not sound like somebody worried about his production in week one or his preseason that has not been real impressive. He doesn't have to impress anybody. He really doesn't. Keenan Allen has earned the benefit of the doubt. And to some degree, so has Montez Sweat in Chicago, because he hasn't been a guy that you have had reason to doubt. So this injury report, frankly, we kind of knew they were going to be on it anyway. The fact that they were not, it wasn't worse, maybe made you feel like, all right, they're trending in the right direction. It is very early still. You don't want veterans overexerting themselves. But if we do hear from Montez Sweat today, I do agree with you, Dustin. It's probably a good sign. Keenan Allen did not sound concerned, and I don't think we should be either. So the injury report, while interesting and always telling, did not rise to the level of, you know, creating a sense of urgency in my mind.
Yeah, it's a good question.
If Caleb Williams' last press conference before his first NFL start, what struck you the most as you heard him talk Wednesday afternoon about his growth, his challenge, and his being elected as a captain by his teammates?
He's already a Pro Bowler at the podium, and that doesn't mean a thing in Chicago or any NFL city, but it does buy you some time and give you some leeway if you need it. I don't know if he's going to need it. All it does is it makes you feel very good about the direction of the franchise. It makes you feel very good about the way that they have explored his past and vetted him and brought him to Chicago to change this franchise, to change this city. Every time he talks, the more he says, the more you want to hear. That is consistent. I said that last week, and it's truer this week. Because he just makes you feel like everything's going to be okay. He passes the ear test. And Sunday he'll begin to pass the eye test. Doesn't mean a thing if he can't throw and he's got three picks and 157 yards passing and they lose to the Titans. Everyone will be mad. And it won't matter about his body language and his composure at the podium. You're right. And people will be texting me, oh God, Haw, stop with Caleb Williams praise. But he's worthy of it. And you saw a young man in full command of everything yesterday. And you've got to feel good as a Chicago Bears fan when you hear a guy like that communicate in that manner.
Well, this goes back to probably one of the biggest takeaways from Hard Knocks about his not being nervous, never gets excited. He sounded like a guy who has been there and done that for a long time. But he also did talk about something that he has to be aware of to that effect, about he's going to be playing against guys on Sunday who have been in the league for four or five or more years, and there's nothing they haven't seen. So he has to realize that this isn't some kid who transferred in the portal or some kid who just graduated high school from LA and is now playing for UCLA in that rivalry with you. Like, he's got to know that the windows are tighter. Everything is faster. Everything is quicker. And he's got to be aware. He just sounded very, very humble. And then I love the talking about drafting the punter. He went through the whole team. And then Mr. Santos
was great.
That was a very funny line by him. But he just sounded like a guy, been there, done that. But all that matters is going out and helping the Bears win on Sunday.
I really have a lot of time for everything we've heard from Caleb Williams, and I love, he's as professional at the podium as anybody you could ever hope for, frankly. I mean, he really has a great demeanor. Love hearing what he has to say. It's the guy has a total understanding of what you're supposed to say. I don't know that we're getting every inner thought, every honest idea. I think he's just so composed and so professional in the way he goes about it. He understands it. He understands what the job is, what the role is, and he makes you feel good about it. I can't wait to see him play. I can't wait to see the entirety of a game and then start stacking some games together. I think that's going to be the fun part of it. So I'm really looking forward to the season getting going and then seeing him as he faces and overcomes adversity. I think those are two things that will happen and do happen over the course of anybody's season slash career. So I can't wait till it gets up and running. And he didn't surprise me in any way because he's been surprising me all along. It's just amazing to me that the things that you worried about or thought about, they're so far removed and out of your mind. it's just incredible.
And it seems kind of silly in retrospect.
It just seems absurd.
Yeah.
Prediction time. Can you please predict the division winners in both the AFC and the NFC, please?
Yeah, this is fun to do. You want AFC or NFC first? Does it matter? I'll take NFC first because it's the NFC. I'll go with Detroit. I'll go with Philly. I'll go with Atlanta in the South. And I'm taking the Rams in the West, which probably...
You're taking the Rams in the West.
Which David will probably repeat in surprise. I'll take the Jets in the AFC East.
Whoa!
I'll take
I love this.
Baltimore. Okay. I'll take Houston and Kansas City.
All right, mine is going to sound pretty similar. East, Eagles. North, Lions. South, Bucks. West, 49ers. AFC East, Jets. North, Ravens. South, Texans. West, Chiefs.
You guys are really buying the Aaron Rodgers hype. You guys must have loved that book. J-E-T-S, Jets. W-R-O-N-G, wrong. Jets. You guys have green on today? All right, sorry. Wow.
I do, as a matter of fact.
Okay. No with the Jets. I'll start with my AFC picks.
In my heart.
Okay, I'm going Dolphins in the East.
I don't have them in the playoffs.
The Dolphins?
Wow. We'll get to that later.
Dolphins, Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, yeah, NFC.
We had one difference.
That's okay. That's a big difference.
But you're acting like it's...
The Jets? Wrong network. To be talking Jets. All right. Eagles. Lions. I guess my better judgment, Lions. But Lions. Falcons. And my annual ode to San Francisco, the 49ers.
Yeah. We could have just taped this from last year.
No. The last several years. I always pick the 49ers.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Any thoughts on the White Sox firing Marco Patti from his job as the special assistant to the GM International Operations? Is it an opportunity to expand in that area, and will the White Sox spend the money to do so?
It wasn't that long ago that Marco Patti was being praised and hailed for being the International Scout of the Year, 2022, mm-hmm. I believe,
yeah.
Heading into the winter of 2023. Wasn't that long ago that Marco Patti was being trotted out as an example of what the White Sox were doing well? Players that he had scouted and, you know, found and discovered and all of those things. Marco Patti has not had a good run lately. They have some examples, but this is all part of the organizational shift, hopefully. You have new leadership. You have new fresh eyes. You have a different kind of approach, perhaps. I don't think that it's fair to make Marco Patti the scapegoat for why Oscar Colas didn't work and why the White Sox are struggling, maybe developing international players lately. It's more than that, but you have to start somewhere. So a little surprised that he would be presented as a scapegoat. This was coming for weeks if you talk to people around the team. I don't know what it means in terms of spending the money. That, to me, is an entirely different conversation. And it involves understanding Jerry Reinsdorf's mindset going into this offseason, which I don't think any of us can do. But Marco Patti, a good scout who had a bad stretch here lately, and I guess he had to go.
No.
Because
no.
So no thoughts?
Not even one. I mean, I'll go for the last part. It sounds like a money dump to me.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If you're not going to pay players and you want to cut payroll, then you better make sure that you're bringing in players. And you better make sure that you're spending money on doing that. So if, you know, as you say, David, Marco Patti was, you know, very highly regarded as of a couple of years ago. And the Sox international guy who's doing well from the international group. It doesn't seem like, you know, Brian Ramos, Lenin Sosa, doesn't seem like you're kind of getting the bang for the buck that you were trying to spend, in your international operations. And this is an opportunity to get better. This is an opportunity not just to hire a replacement, but to hire replacements to maybe take that operation to a different level. But that would require spending money. And again, I don't see the White Sox. It feels as if everything they're doing is, as Dustin said, an attempt to dump salary more than win, for sure. They don't care about winning. It's about reducing. So I think they'll miss this opportunity, sadly. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, they need to have a more obvious plan internationally, or at least provide more obvious results so you don't have to point to a scapegoat as a reason for why things haven't been working. Thank you.
All right, that is the pick six. We've got the extra point, and I believe we're going to be fleshing out some of the predictions. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Mr. Santos.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Back to the predictions. Can you please reveal your wild card playoff teams in the two conferences and give us your Super Bowl game and your prediction in that game, please?
Definitely. AFC's first. Since I picked the Dolphins to win the AFC East, the Bills will be a wild card team. Sorry, your Jets Jets are not making my playoffs. Not this year. Who's the backup quarterback in New York anyway? Who is Aaron Rodgers' understudy? Get to know that guy, because you're going to see a lot of them. Bills in the AFC East, wild card. Bengals from the AFC North, cool Joe Burrow. Won't win the division because the Ravens are the class of that division, but Joe Burrow makes the playoffs again. And then the third wild card team sneaking in the back door, making a bid for NFL Coach of the Year, will be the Los Angeles Chargers and Justin Herbert. They will be the third wild card team in the AFC. I hope Twitch saw Dustin's look at me. I hope everyone on the Twitch stream saw that disgust in his eyes and his face.
I actually hope they heard Chelios yesterday.
Who? Chargers, Bengals, Bills, NFC. The Packers, the flower, will bloom in January. the flower, the Packers make the playoffs, second team in the NFC North. The Rams, they will get in. Good team. Overlooked kind of in preseason. I not by you. Not by you.
Only by you.
Mully picked the Rams, but the Rams are a good football team. They're coming into Soldier Field in September. That's not going to be a good, fun game. And then how about them Cowboys?
Ooh, no thank you.
Cowboys are going to keep us a little intrigued. They're going to justify all the over coverage, and they're going to get into the postseason. Bears, well, we'll talk about the Bears. They will be just on the outside looking in. Packers, Rams, Cowboys, and then in the Super Bowl, we're going to have a rematch of the Super Bowl from 2013, February of 2013. We're going to have Ravens and the 49ers. Huh? Not going to be the Harbaugh brothers this time. It's going to be the stud versus John Harbaugh. And it will be Kyle Shanahan against John Harbaugh. And this is the year. Finally, Brock Purdy becomes more relevant. Kyle Shanahan gets his ring. And all of the preseason turmoil ends with postseason success and confetti. The San Francisco 49ers will win the Super Bowl.
Not so fast, my friend. AFC wild card. Bengals, Dolphins, Bills. What's up with the Bills? Are they any good? Are they broken?
Meh.
Is Allen going to prove that he was the better of the two, of the duo of him and the wide receiver that's now down with the Texans, I believe? NFC, Rams, Cowboys, Bears, Super Bowl. Also, a rematch I have, David. I have a Super Bowl rematch as well. I have the Chiefs and Eagles. The Chiefs going for that three-peat. Super Bowl a few years back. Big game winner. Chiefs, three in a row. 33-30. Chiefs get that three in a row. By the way, today's the kickoff of the NFL. The game's on the score. You might have heard that. We are 157 days away from the big game. 157 days away from the big game.
Okay. Let's go with the AFC. So I've got to remind you, Jets, Baltimore, Houston, Kansas City. I will add the Bills, the Bengals, and the Chargers with the great Jim Harbaugh.
Thank you. We're on the same page there.
I've got Detroit, Philly, the Rams, and Atlanta. So my fifth seed would be the Niners, the Packers, and I will add the Seahawks.
Ooh, wow.
And I will take...
Wow.
This is a difficult one for me, but I'm going to take the Bengals over the Lions in the Super Bowl. No rematch of any.
Yeah, it is a rematch. Remember? Well, no, it wasn't.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
No, okay.
No, the Lions.
Lions have never been there, right?
Super Bowl, yeah.
Not a rematch.
Bengals winning the Super Bowl. You have Cincinnati over Detroit.
Yep.
So you've got Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down all the way to the Super Bowl, winning the NFC Championship game.
I've got him beating, I believe, I'll have to double check, I believe I'm beating the Packers to get there.
Wow. How conceivable is it, mathematically and otherwise, to have three teams from the NFC North in the playoffs? Could happen.
It could happen. I did not pick it. Dustin did pick it.
I think it's possible.
Did you pick it, Dustin?
Mine is the I have three teams from the AFC East making it.
Didn't you have the Bears in?
I have the Bears, but I do not have the Packers.
Oh.
Wow. That's just spite.
Well, that's like maybe.
That's spite.
I am getting prepared for this, because this is what we do. We prep for this. We didn't just do this at 6:22. There is so much national love out there for the Packers and Jordan Love, pun intended. I mean, it's disgusting. Makes me want to vomit, as the great Les Grobstein would say. I mean, the vomit green and yellow of the Green Bay Packers, and the offensive player of the year, Jordan Love.
Well, listen,
offensive player of the year, Jordan Love.
I have poked
Packers
a little
Packers winning and losing the Super Bowl.
I
no
have
shot.
Wound you up a little
no
bit.
Shot.
I will say this. I will say this about Jordan Love. You've got to give him due respect. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL the second half of last season. I'd like to tweak you a little bit. And I do believe fully, I'm not going to back off from this, over the next 3 to 5 years, I think Caleb Williams is the quarterback in the NFC North that I would prefer and I would want. But I'd also think Jordan Love, good quarterback. Very, very good quarterback. I understand the hype. I understand the contract. And to doubt him, to question him, is not something I would want to do. But you
so
just did.
At your own peril.
At your own peril, Packer hater.
That's all right. He's entitled to hate
the Packers. He could hate the Packers.
Brandon, have you made your picks? Didn't we ask you to make
Yes, we
picks?
Did.
Okay, so I'll go all the way even to the division real quick. NFC, I got the Eagles, Detroit, Atlanta, San Fran. The wild cards I got is the Rams, Packers, and Bears. AFC, I got Dolphins, Ravens, Texans, Chiefs, and then the wild cards spots are Bills, Bengals, and Jets. I got San Fran and Kansas City going at it, and I got KC three-peating.
You guys are boring. Kansas City three-peating?
That's not boring.
That's not boring. A three-peat is not boring.
No.
It's very hard.
Redundant.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, if we – and I want to do this before we get into the Bears portion of the program, maybe tomorrow. Over the next 5 years, are the Bears going to win a Super Bowl? Over the next 5 years, who's definitely going to win a Super Bowl? I got to tell you, Patrick Mahomes is going to win another Super Bowl before it's all said and done. He's still very young. So you're going for the three-peat, or you could wait a year or 2 years, whatever.
I don't know if you guys have read People Magazine, but Travis Kelce is going to be very distracted about September 28th when he breaks up with his girlfriend. And I think that could be something you're not taking into account.
Is he suing over that? There's like...
Isn't that something?
Somebody claims that there's an actual... Like, this has all been...
Orchestrated.
Orchestrated, prearranged relationship. Yeah.
And there's a press release with his breakup date already.
Yeah.
Will she be there tonight? I know she's been in the hype video. Mully did a great job yesterday laying that out about how she was in like 3 or 5 shots of the hype video, right? 5 times. But
exhaustive research.
I have not done this research, but based on that story, is she in concert somewhere tonight? I'll look that up at the break.
I don't think she is.
But I think if she's there sitting next to Mama Kelce in a box or in the stands, I find this whole thing ridiculous. If she's not there and not on tour, then I think there's something to it.
If she's not there and not on tour. Will you change your prediction in the morning?
About the Chiefs going to
yes.
No, I think it's actually I think Taylor being removed from the picture actually could help things out.
Interesting.
He could be even more motivated and more locked in because I think this is it for him, for Travis.
Ooh, that's another hot take.
This is the end. They immediately when that Super Bowl ended last year, they were right on to three-peat.
Let me ask you another related question while we're talking about nonsense.
They won the Super Bowl in overtime.
They did. They did.
I rewatched it the other day because we don't have ESPN.
Why am I getting grief about my Cowboys pick for the playoffs?
Because they're not a popular pick right now because of the amount of money they've had to pay, and they didn't pay Dak yet.
Isn't that going to be part and parcel of the Cowboys anyway? Aren't they always going to be dealing with distractions just by being America's team and America's most overpublicized team?
I thought you accused me of having the Jets, the America's most overpopulated.
Well, that's true. I think that's exactly valid.
Are pretty good because I think Robert Saleh is a really good defensive coach.
I think he's a good coach. I think
the problem with Miami, I don't believe that losing Vic helps them. I think it does help Philly.
I think that Miami, I was this close last night. I even thought that I was picking the Dolphins to win the AFC. And they were going to be in the Super Bowl. And then I started thinking about it. But I do think they can win the division.
I am the speed guy. You're the Bayless Jones is God guy.
Speed kills guy. I believe.
Bayless needs 6 plays.
I believe that is why the Dolphins will win the division. I believe that's why they're going to be in the AFC Championship game. I'm now giving, based on the reaction to my Cowboys in the playoffs pick, a little bit more. I'm wondering about the wisdom of that. Should I have gone with another team rather than the Cowboys? But I think I've got to stick with the original, so I'm going to go with that.
You know, there was always room to wiggle.
There's always wiggle room.
Yeah.
Always got a little wiggle room.
I have the Cowboys in the playoffs as well. That division is no good.
No good.
No good.
Listen, we can rethink our picks. We will have a chance to repick.
I don't want to repick.
You don't want to, but
I like the instinct.
Let's say you thought Joe Burrow was going to have a great season and Cincinnati was going to the Super Bowl, and then the guy got hurt.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a problem.
A year ago.
That's actually one of the reasons why I didn't pick the Bengals. I love the Bengals. You know, I love Joe Burrow. I just don't think he can stay healthy.
Right.
Hope I'm wrong.
Definitely a worry.
And tomorrow morning, I might feel like the Bears are a playoff team again.
Taylor not on tour.
Then she should be there tonight.
If she's not, then I think there's something to that story.
Interesting.
What would the excuse be? Why wouldn't she be there?
I don't know if you saw this, and this is silly, but apparently, like, the experience of Taylor coming to a city really helps the local economy because people come and they spend money and they go to dinner.
We've experienced that here.
And we've experienced it here.
Yes.
They're hoping for that kind of bump from the Oasis reunion. I laughed out loud when I read that because I thought, those guys, they might not get through two songs.
Come on.
Before there's a fist fight. That's
going to be a 17-minute concert.
All right. The Eras Tour delivered. Oasis, they could deliver a punch. we'll get into it. We got a lot to talk about. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Look, it's always hard to do in that situation, but you know, look, just you're taking care of Shota. I mean, that's 100% about taking care of Shota and making sure we're doing the right thing for him. And so it's not fun to do, but when you're prioritizing the player's health and making sure that you don't know what's going to happen moving forward, and we want him to stay healthy. He's at a career high in innings and doing a great job. He actually didn't know he had a no hitter going at all, which is funny. But Tommy and I talked about it. We considered it, frankly, after the sixth inning, and that was for us the right thing to do.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Craig Counsell, and he's letting you know that they were aware that the no-hitter was on. They also weren't going to risk the arm of one Shohei Ohtani in order to get it.
Yeah, nobody doubts they wanted to take care of Shota Imanaga, that they were...
What did I say?
Ohtani, I knew what you meant.
What the hell happened?
Is there anybody out there really that questions Craig Counsell did the right thing? If they did, let us know, because
I'm sure there's someone.
In today's MLB game, you've got to do what Craig Counsell did. It isn't easy, and I'm sure that it wasn't popular. We heard some of the boos at Wrigley Field, and I get it. You want to see history, you want to see the guy finish, but what about if they left him in and on pitch 119, he gives up an infield single? Then you're like, oh, all of that for that? You have no guarantee that you're going to leave him in and he's going to get the no-hitter. So I think you want to be consistent. Craig Counsell is consistent to a fault. Same guy every day, same process every day. Last night followed a pattern, had no problem with it.
312-644-6767. Kevin is in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Mully, I got half of your Super Bowl. I got Chiefs over Lions.
Okay.
And until someone proves that quarterback is not Michael Jordan, I will never, ever, man, I've lost a lot of money betting against him, so I will not do that ever again.
I like that pick. I like that pick. I came very close to making that pick, Kevin. And I said to David during the break, I think the guy's going to win two more.
Yeah, but not this year.
Oh, yeah. I think you... No, because David's guy is going to win out on the coast. But, so I totally understand what Counsell did, but the one mini meathead part of me definitely wanted him to stay in. But I know I understand why he did it, and I get it. And I also, I don't want him getting hurt, but I did want to see a no-hitter, but I also get why. But the main reason for my call today is Isak Paredes, and I always challenge my fellow Cubs fans. Just because Isak Paredes is better than Chris Morel, that's not good enough for us as Cubs fans.
I agree.
Because Matt Chapman is a 6 WAR player we could have had for nothing. We've all said it ad nauseum.
And now yesterday, he signs a team-friendly six-year, $151 million. That's $25 million a year. Now, I understand he's 31, but he's never made three errors in a game. And he's an awesome player. And a six-war player puts us way closer to the playoffs than Isak Paredes. So I am begging my fellow Cubs fans, just because you got a mini upgrade, don't think it's good enough, because it's not. And, guys, we said it before, and Jed needs to be challenged on, and you guys do an amazing job every time he's on of challenging him. We need a closer. We need a 6-4 bat, and we need another pitcher. This is the second time, and I love Justin Steele, but he doesn't finish full seasons. Like, we need another top-line starter.
Thanks, Kevin. That's a good point about Steele. You start to wonder about his injury history and his availability. Maybe that's not fair, but it's real. I want to ask you this real quick before we break, Mully. Do you think the reaction would have been different to pulling Shota Imanaga if the Cubs were in last place, if they were 10 games out of the wild card spot, and you would have said, you know what, you don't have to, you just throw caution to the wind, let him get this milestone because you have nothing to lose?
I swear to God, I thought when you started asking that question, you were going to say, would it have been different if Justin Steele hadn't just gone on the IL? So in other words, if Steele were healthy and you knew he was ready to, would you mind? And I don't think I don't think the answer would have been different for any of those reasons, okay, honestly. But if you knew Steele were healthy and he were still your ace, would you maybe roll the bones a little
I think that's a fair question as well. I do wonder how I might feel differently if, say, they were in last place, and I would have felt like, well, maybe this would be Shota's last start, or you give him another, you skip a start if you let him go 120 pitches to get the no-hitter because you have nothing to lose. The Cubs still feel like, because Craig Counsell is the same guy, they still feel like they're in this. I don't know if they are. We announced the end of the baseball season yesterday, but I understand why he wouldn't agree. So right, in that context, he did the right thing. I do wonder if I'd feel differently if they were out of it.
Yeah, I it's an interesting question. Just because what you're saying effectively is, rather than try to start him again, Shota, why not have that be his last start? And then, you know, who cares?
If he makes history.
If they were the White Sox, for instance.
If they were the White Sox. Let's say if Garrett Crochet. See, Garrett Crochet never would have gotten to the seventh inning.
He would be out at the fourth.
Yeah, four inning no hitter.
Perfect game.
Woohoo!
Immaculate four innings.
No,
just come on.
They still would have taken him out. That was your 57th pitch, young man. God, that's annoying.
It couldn't have been his 57th.
Well, that's right. Immaculate. Okay. Yeah. So that's 9 times 4, 36. That's 37th. Yeah, he would not have been able to pitch 37. You're coming out, Mr. Immaculate.
I don't know where the hell that came from. We got Biggs time next. Right. We're bringing in our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.